Now, the year is 62 AD. Paul is in prison in Rome, and he's just finished writing a letter to the church at Colossae. And he sends it along with a letter to the church in Ephesus and the letter to Philemon. He sends it through Tychicus and Onesimus back to those cities. Why does he do that? Why does he write to those churches? Why does he write in particular to the church of Colossae? Well, Paul writes to the church in Colossae for two reasons. First of all, positively, he wants to establish them in the faith. You see, Paul had never met the Colossians. Ephesus was about 100 miles from Colossae. And Paul spent 3 years preaching and teaching the gospel in Ephesus. A man called Epaphras heard the gospel that Paul was preaching and took that message back to his home city of Colossae and shared the message, and a church was formed. Paul didn't know a church had formed until Epaphras traveled a 2,500-mile round trip to Rome and back to tell him. And so when Paul hears about this church being formed in Colossae, he wants to write to them because he wants them to be established in the gospel that he preached. But there's a second reason. If that's a positive reason why Paul wrote this letter, there's a negative reason. And the negative reason is that false teachers had come into the church. There's always been false teachers in the church. The false teachers in the church today are nothing new. There were false teachers back in the first century who'd come into this new church that hadn't been going for very long and were confusing the believers by altering the message. They were like children who go to a pond, and you can see clearly through the pond, and the children take sticks and stick them to the bottom of the pond and stir up all the little bits of mud and leaves, and the whole water becomes muddy and you can't see clearly. Well, that's the sort of thing that these false teachers were doing. They're bringing in alterations to the gospel and confusing the church. In fact, what they were doing is confusing everybody. You see, when there's confusion in the church about what the gospel is, there will be confusion out in society. You know, why aren't people in church this evening? Why aren't our churches throughout Manchester full of people this evening? I think one of the reasons is because people think they know what the Christian message is about and they don't think it's relevant for their lives. When you speak to people about Christianity, many people say, oh yeah, Christianity, I know what that is. You know, I was told about it when I was a child, or so-and-so, I've come across it through the telly, or so-and-so mentioned this. And they think they know what it is, but they don't. Because if they did, our churches would be full. But the confusion outside the church is because there's confusion inside the church. False teachers confuse the church. There's many false teachers in the Church of England at the moment. And you can tell that there's false teaching in the church because if you turn up to one Church of England church in Manchester, you will hear one message. If you turn up to a second church, you'll hear a different message. You turn up to a third church, you'll hear a different message again. And we shouldn't be surprised at that because that was the case in the first century. 30 years after Jesus rose from the dead, there were false teachers in the church and there was confusion. And there has been for the last 2,000 years. And so how today can we avoid that? How can we be clear about what the Christian message is? Well, we need to go back to basics. We need to go back to what the message was that Epaphras took to the Colossians. What the message was that the Apostle Paul taught, which Epaphras heard. What the message was which Jesus Christ himself taught his apostles. What is that message? Because if we can grasp that message, then we can be clear about the gospel. And if we can be clear about the gospel, then we can share a clear message with other people as well. So what is the Christian message? Well, in these verses, we're told that the Christian message is good news, it's true news, and it's saving news. The Christian message is good news, it's true news, and it's saving news. First of all, it's good news. Paul, in verses 3 to 8, prays for the Colossians. He thanks God for them. And in this prayer, he tells us that the Christian message that they have heard is good news. He says that in verse 5. Of this hope you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you. What's the message of Christianity? The message of Christianity is gospel. Gospel simply means good news. The Christian message is an announcement of good news. Let me ask you, is that the way you think about Christianity? Is that the way you think about the gospel? The Christian message? Do you think about it as good news? In fact, do you think about it as the best news that you have ever heard in your life? Better than the news that you've just inherited a huge fortune? Better than the news that you've just won a prestigious prize or got promotion at work? Is it the best news that you have ever heard, that it's possible to hear? Because that's what Christianity is. That's what Paul's saying about it here. It is good news. It's wonderful news. And so we can see quite clearly what Christianity is not. Christianity is not advice about how you should live your life. And yet that is what I think many people think Christianity is. It's about telling you how you should live your life, giving you advice about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Remember when I was at college, I played in the college football team, and I got talking to the captain of the team one day, and he told me that he'd been to church the Sunday before, and that I was quite excited about that, and I said, that's wonderful, and he said, oh yeah, I do go occasionally, and I said, well, tell me about it, you know, it was a different church than the one that I went to, and I said, he said, well, I went along to the church, and I went along because I was just feeling really bad about myself. So I went along to the church, and I went through the service, and I came out feeling even worse about myself than I did when I went in, because I was just told what a bad person I was and what things I needed to do and what things in my life I needed to change. And many people think that's what Christianity is. It's about living a good life, doing the right things and not doing the wrong things. But why would people want to come to church if church just told them that they were bad and they needed to be better? Why would people want to come to a church and to a service if all they were going to hear is bad news? If that's what you think Christianity is, then why are you here? Christianity, that's not Christianity. If that's what you think Christianity is, you've not understood Christianity. Christianity is good news. Christianity is the happiest news that you can ever hear. And that's not just what Paul's saying here. It's the message that we read about all the way through the Bible. You know, when Jesus came, and when he told people who he was, what he says is full of good news. He says, I have come that they might have life, life in all its fullness. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. See, Jesus Christ brings life. He brings joy. You see, that is the essence of the gospel. Remember the story of the angels appearing to the shepherds on the hillside in the nativity story. And what do? They say, we've come to bring you good news of great joy for all the people. And the shepherds go and find the baby in the manger rejoicing. See, that's the right response to the message of Christianity. When I became a Christian, many years ago now, the impact it had on me was that I couldn't stop singing all week. I was filled with a joy that was unspeakable and full of glory. And I know I'm not the only person who has had that experience when they've become a Christian. Was that your experience? Is that the way you think about Christianity? Is it good news? Is it the best news you've ever heard? Does it fill you with a joy unspeakable and full of glory? That's what Christianity is. Christianity is good news. But Christianity isn't just good news, it's true news. Paul says this in verse 5. He says to the Colossians, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth. Paul calls the Christian message the word of truth. And he calls it the word of truth in contrast to the false teachers who were bringing in lies. They were bringing in a false message, a false gospel, if there can be such a thing. They were altering the true gospel to something that was false. Now, how can Paul say it's true? You know, we hear that kind of thing today and we think, well, that's just very arrogant to be able to say this is true and all other messages are false. You know, we like to think today, you know, we like to say, well, this is my truth. Tell me your truth. We all have our own truths. But Paul doesn't do that. Paul doesn't say, well, it's just a matter of interpretation, is this message. He says, this is the truth. It's not one person's word against another person's word. It's something that is true against something that is false. And so we can say, well, what's his basis? What's the basis of saying that? What's his authority? Where does he get his authority from to say that? Well, he doesn't get it from people's opinions. He doesn't get it from philosophical thinking, from speculation or from popular ideas. He doesn't get it from what people think, from what people think inside the church. You know, once upon a time in the churches in England, you'd go to church and you'd hear a lot about judgment and sin. You go into churches today in England, you hear a lot about love and grace. You know, but Paul's not swayed by what the general view in the churches is. He doesn't base his authority on what people inside the church think. He doesn't base his authority on what the church tradition is. You know, we've always believed this, or we've always done this, and therefore it's always right. He bases his authority not on what people think, but on what actually happened. On historical events. Not people's opinions, not church traditions, but he bases his authority on historical events. That's why he calls himself a messenger of the gospel. That's why he calls himself an apostle. You see, what were the apostles? The apostles were people who met with Jesus Christ. Henry spoke about that last week. People who were eyewitnesses to Jesus Christ. And other than the apostle Paul, they were people who'd been with Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. They'd seen his miracles. They'd heard his teaching. They'd seen him die on a cross. They'd met him after he'd risen from the dead. They saw him ascend to heaven. And Paul, as a Johnny come lately, met him on the Damascus Road. Met the risen Jesus Christ, who shared with him those things. That is the message that Paul passed on to the Ephesians, which Epaphras heard and took to the church in Colossae. You see, when Epaphras took the message of the gospel to the church in Colossae, he wasn't passing on Paul's opinions. He wasn't passing on church traditions. He wasn't passing on things that he'd thought were good and nice and right. He was passing on historical information. He was passing on, as it were, a news report. This is what Jesus Christ did. This is what he said. This is how he ended his life. This is what happened as he rose again. Over Christmas, I had a number of conversations with people about Christianity. It was wonderful to chat to people after the carol services. And a couple of the conversations I had went like this. A person would say, "Do you know, Christianity isn't really for me. You know, I like to think about life like this. You know, I can see why Christianity can help people, but it's just not a big deal for me." And I would say, did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? What? In other words, I tried to change the whole parameter of the conversation. Not to what we think, not to nice ideas, not to what's going to be helpful, but did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? Is that a historical event that you can investigate and look into to see whether it's true or not? Because if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then it doesn't really matter what you think or what I think, because there's a historical event at the basis of the Christian faith. A historical event which is true. And that means that Christianity and the message of Christianity is true. See, Christianity is based on history. It's not based on fables or opinions or philosophy or tradition. It's based upon historical events. It's news, true news about Jesus Christ. But finally, not only is the Christian message good news and true news, but it's saving news. Christianity does something. The Christian message does something to a person's life. And in many ways, this is the best evidence of the Christian message. We're in January, but spring is actually only around the corner. And one of the things about spring is you start planting your plants and start planting your bulbs. And the question is, how do you know? I forget in the autumn when I plant my bulbs, which bulbs I've planted where. How do you know which bulb is which? How do you know where did you plant your daffodils and where did you plant your tulips? Well, you find out where you planted them when you see their flowers. And the tulip flower appears where you planted the tulip, and the yellow daffodil appears where you planted the yellow daffodil. It's by their flowers, it's by their fruit that you can tell which is which. It's by the results that you can tell what was there. And the same is true with the Christian message. The evidence that the Christian message is good and is true is that it saves. It transforms. It changes a person's life. It's done something. And that's what Paul says has happened to the Colossians. He says that at the start of his prayer. That's why he thanks God. He says, "We always thank God," verse 3, "the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." And how do you know they've got faith in Christ Jesus? "And of the love that you have for all the saints." You see, Paul prays for the Colossians. He thanks God for the Colossians because the gospel message has been received by them. And the evidence that it's been received by them is that it's changed their life. They've heard the gospel. They've heard what Jesus Christ has done. They've put the hope in Jesus Christ. They've got a hope now laid up for them in heaven because they're trusting in Jesus Christ by faith. And the result of that is that they now love one another. They love each other as brothers and sisters in the faith. And they love people outside the church. And that love is evidenced in practical ways. They love people who they would never maybe have been in a room together with before. They've come together because they all believe in the same message. They love people who are different to them, not just people like themselves. They love people who they might naturally struggle to get on with. They love one another because God has planted a love for himself in their hearts, and that has led them to love each other. They know God's love. They know the hope of the gospel. And that has transformed their life. See, the evidence that the Christian message is good and true is that it does something. It saves people's lives. It changes people's lives. You see, I think the greatest piece of evidence that the Christian message is true and good is that somebody who is a long way away from Christianity becomes a Christian. You see that with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul hated Christians. He persecuted them. He threw them into prison. And then he journeyed from Jerusalem to Damascus. And by the time he got to Damascus, he started preaching this message. He started telling people about Jesus Christ. He loved the Christians when he got there. They were shocked. And the reason for that is because he was converted on the way. One of my favorite missionaries is a guy called John G. Patton. And he was a missionary to the New Hebrides, which are islands in the Pacific Ocean, at the end of the 19th century. And it was about that time that people had become skeptical about the Christian faith. People were saying it's all about morals. You know, that's what Christianity is. It's all about being good and living a good life. It's not really supernatural. And people were becoming very skeptical in the West about the Christian faith. And John G. Patton said, both when he came back to speak, but also in his writings, he said this. These skeptical people, these philosophers who were arguing against the Christian faith, they need to spend a couple of days on these islands with the natural men. They need to see the cannibals and the animists and what they do and how they live. And they need to meet the Christians who used to be cannibals and animists and see the transformation of their life. Because there's something in the transformation of a person's life from being a cannibal, hating other people and eating them, to actually becoming a Christian and loving their enemies. There's something that happens when you see that transformation which wipes away all of the arguments against the Christian faith. Because there's your proof. There's your proof that Christianity is good, that Christianity is true, because it changes people's lives. Somebody's gone from darkness to light, from death to life, from hate to love. That is the evidence of Christianity. I was reading about a cleaner who had become a Christian. And a man asked her, he said, what difference has it made to your life? And the cleaner said, well, I clean under the mats now. Or the man who becomes a Christian and instead of going to the bookies on a Friday night with his wage, brings it home so the family have more money. Or gives up smoking cannabis so the family have more money. Or gives up going to the pub with his mates. See, that is the thing, that's the evidence that Christianity has an impact on your life. That's the evidence that Christianity is true. And that sweeps away debate. You see, you can argue till the cows come home whether Christianity is right or wrong or good or bad. But Paul says, Christianity is good news. It's true news based upon historical events that happened 2,000 years ago. But the greatest evidence of all is it's saving news, and it does change people's life. See, when people come and ask you questions about the Christian faith, as they do to me, they ask you questions about science or suffering or, criticisms about the Bible, you can try and find some answers and discuss it with them. Or you can say, do you know, I don't know all these answers. I don't know how. All these answers to questions about science and Christianity, or how a good God can allow suffering, or these technical questions about and critical questions about the Bible. But I know this. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That's what I know. That's the gospel in which I believed. Do you want to know it too? Do you want to know about that grace? Do you want your eyes to be opened? Do you want to know what it is to be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory? Do you want to know the love of God in your soul? Let me pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the message of the gospel. Thank you that it has transformed our lives. And Lord, we long, Lord, for the gospel message to continue to change us and to make us more like Christ. Help us to keep believing and holding on to it, not to be confused when we hear false teaching, but to go back to what the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught, what the Apostle Paul taught, what is written in the Bible. And Lord, when people come to us and ask us about our faith, well, we don't have all the answers, we know that. But we do know what you've done in our lives. Help us to share that. And may others see that in the way we live. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
True gospel, the saving gospel. So let's stand together.